You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 51, The Price of Your Anger. I'm going to share two personal experiences with my own anger and how I'm trying to overcome it. All that plus the tip of the week and your Latin word of the week in this week's episode. And thank you for tuning into the Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. My goal this week is to uncover the price tag of your anger. You know, anger is one of the seven deadly sins. You can remember the seven deadly sins by the acronym, as we teach at the New St. Thomas Institute, pale gas, pride, anger, lust, envy, gluttony, avarice, and sloth. And right in there is anger. And recently I had an epiphany about my own anger and how it affects my life. And I'm going to share two recent examples of my anger issues and how I'm learning to overcome it. So that's this week's show, The Price of Your Anger. And you know, to keep and to hold on to anger is physically and emotionally exhausting. So we're going to learn why it is that we need to let go of this anger and find tranquility and peace. Now, the proverb of the week, again, like it has recently, is not from the book of Proverbs. It's kind of becoming the scripture of the week. And as we come up on 1 year, the 1 year anniversary of this podcast, I've been thinking about maybe doing away with the proverb of the week. I know people like it. I hear good feedback about it. And there are still many more Proverbs to go. There's 31 chapters of Proverbs, but I've kind of exhausted over the past year my favorite Proverbs. And so sometimes the Proverbs that I would like to use I've already used before in a previous show. And so I find myself going to scripture verses outside the book of Proverbs, which is fine. So I'm just thinking, well, maybe I need to discontinue the quote Proverb of the week and just bring in scripture however it suits the featured segment. So maybe this is episode 51. Maybe we'll do one more, episode 52. And as we move into the second year, 52 episodes is 1 year since they come out every week. When we move into episode 53, we'll be trying some new things, and maybe we'll just drop this section right here. But for now, it's James, the Epistle of St. James, chapter 1, verse 20. It speaks to our topic today. James writes, quote, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God," end quote. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I want to use this as a springboard to jumping into the featured segment this week. So here we have an apostle, St. James, the relative of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to us that anger, as we know, is one of the seven deadly sins, does not lead us to, it does not produce the righteousness or the justice of God. All of us in Christ who believe in him, who have been baptized, who have faith in Christ, hope in Christ, we love Christ, all of us have been justified. We have been made righteous through Christ because God has inserted us through the wounds of Jesus into the very person of Christ. As St. Paul says, we are in Christ. In Greek, en Christo. En Christo. That is our identity, is the righteousness of God. But the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So every time we become angry, and by the way, there is a just anger. For example, when we hear about grave crimes against children, or you know, maybe when you think about the injustice of abortion, or maybe even, you know, people getting hurt in natural disasters, there should be a response, an emotional response, and that's okay. We don't want it to go overboard, but there is anger is one of the passions, right, that's in us, and we have to learn how to control it. But most of the time, I would probably say for most of us, 99% of the time when we're experiencing anger, it's not in proportion to the reality in which we perceive. We're overreacting. So this past week, I was watching one of the TED Talks. You watch those, the TED Talks? TED Talks are these short videos, about 10 minutes, in which they have someone who's an intellectual or a pseudo-intellectual get up and talk about, you know, technology, world hunger, parks, health, globalization, etc. Some of them are not so great. Some of them are actually really incredible. So I watch them, and they can be hit or miss. But there was one in the last couple weeks by a gentleman. I can't remember his first name. His last name was Ibrahim. And he was the son of a terrorist who had was responsible for the first explosion attack beneath the World Trade Center before September 11th. And he was talking about what it was like to grow up with a father who was an active terrorist in the United States. And as he grew up older, and again, this wasn't, I'm not endorsing the talk, there were things in the talk that I didn't necessarily agree with. But as he was moving through it, he talked about how there is this great sense of anger, even hatred. And as he moved into high school and college and beyond, you know, he met people who were Jewish, and he realized that they weren't necessarily really bad people, that he could be friends with them, but he had been taught as a young man that Jews were the enemy, and a bunch of other different demographics as well. So as he grew up and he became more tolerant, he realized how much anger he had. And as he expressed these views to his mother, who'd been married to this terrorist — his father, by the way, had been put in jail — his mother teared up and said, "I'm so tired of being angry," or something like that. If you saw the TED Talk and I got the quote wrong, correct me, but something like that. "I'm so tired of being angry." And the speaker was pointing out that it takes a great amount of emotional energy and physical energy to be angry. It's something in you, it's a toxic kind of energy, a toxic emotion that's really depleting all your other faculties in life. So when you're angry, you're not thinking rationally, you're not perceiving the world rightly. And, you know, as we learn from Christ, as we learn as Christians, as Catholics, charity, love, is the proper lens through which through which we understand reality. Because reality is based in God, because God created all of creation. He created us. And God is love. So if we're going to properly understand reality, to understand the universe, we must pull out those binoculars called love and look around. If we're looking through, well, I guess it wouldn't be the binoculars of anger or hate. They would be the monocle. You know what a monocle is? That little piece of glass that someone puts in their eye and they kind of have to squeeze it to keep it in there. That kind of looks like anger. So the monocle of anger. So we have the binoculars of charity and love and the monocle of anger. When we look through the binoculars of charity, we can see things with our natural eye that we can't normally see. Our eyesight is augmented. It's increased. It's better. We can see more like a hawk or an eagle. So when we pull up these binoculars of charity, we can see things at a distance. And this is what gives us tranquility. When we use the monocle of anger, or maybe the magnifying glass of anger, we become very myopic and focused on one little thing. This person who hurt me 8 years ago. This situation where I went bankrupt and lost my business. Just throwing out some examples. All of us have our own places of anger. And becoming a mature Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ is learning to take these pains, insert them into the wounds of Jesus Christ. This is a great meditation for you. Get quiet, close your eyes, and picture Christ on the cross. His side wound is open. Take whatever it is that wounds you and place it into his wound. Push it right up in there all the way. Push it all the way up there to the Sacred Heart and bury it in his Sacred Heart forever. And then you just continue to pray, Lord, help me to release that to you. Don't let it fester and become a source of anger and wrath and hatred in my heart. Instead, let me begin to experience peace. Well, I said I was going to share a couple of examples from my own life. I'll start with one that relates to my children. I go to the gym. I try to go to the gym every day, Monday through Friday, sometimes on Saturday. I find, as I've said in other podcasts, working out helps me physically, but even more than helping me physically, it helps me mentally. I find that if I exercise, I'm more happy, I'm more cheerful, I have more creative ideas, I think in a way that is more profound, I can get more done, I'm more productive. It's generally just good for me. And I think that has to do with just moving the blood around, bringing a lot of oxygen to the brain, etc. Well, one of the things that I like to do when I work out is I sometimes listen to music. If it's really intense running, or if it's heavy lifting, I'll listen to some more kind of pumped up, aggressive music. But most of the time, I'm listening to podcasts. And one of these days, I'll probably share a list of the podcasts that I like to listen to. And it's a great way for me to learn and continue to study even while I'm working out. And you know, I work out usually at least about an hour. So that's an hour of like basically reading. I'm either listening to a book, or I'm usually listening to a podcast from experts and interviews and all these things. And it's cultivating my mind. So it's a great opportunity to work out the body and also to learn something. Well, key to listening to podcasts are the earbuds, the headphones. And we've had several sets of headphones. I've spent some pretty good money on getting some good headphones that don't slip out of your ear when you're bouncing around or when you get sweaty. And there's one set that I like in particular that I keep in my little leather bag that I take to the office and home and everywhere I go. And in the last several days, I have not been able to find those earbuds. Also, there's a rubber device with Velcro that goes onto my left arm that holds my iPhone there, so that I can listen to either music or podcast or audiobooks right there. So I bought one of those rubber things, worked great. After a month or so, it disappeared. Now, as you know, I have 7 children. So if I place any item below 4 feet in my house, if you just imagine a line of 4 feet high off the ground all the way around the interior of my house, if I place any item below that perimeter, that border, it will be gone. It will be lost. Now, I can hear my wife, or I can see my wife rolling her eyes because she thinks I always blame the kids, but it's true. If I place a pen, let's say 2 feet down on the coffee table, and I turn around and go to the other room and I come back in, the pen will be gone. One of the kids will grab the pen and go do something with it, like throw it under a couch, or throw it under the fridge. Or if I put my watch down below the 4 foot line, it will disappear for a couple days. So all these things are lost. And one of them is this arm thing. So finally I break down. I've been jogging, holding the phone in my hand, and one day I dropped it and I kind of broke the phone. So I was like, darn it, I gotta get another one of those rubber things for my left arm. So I bought another one, but after 2 weeks, it too was gone. I could not find it. And so this kind of just shows the buildup in my mind. You can see how I'm getting angry about this kind of thing because I want to work out. I need these basic tools. They don't cost a lot of money. They're just basic tools. Well, lately it was the earbuds. So the other day I was trying to go work out, and the idea of just like running on a treadmill or doing an elliptical machine or even lifting weights with no sound or music, I'm so accustomed to it, I just don't know if I could do it. I almost need that distraction. So I couldn't find the earbuds. Like, oh man, I have a big run today. I don't know if I could do the whole run if I was just sitting there, you know, hearing people talk at the gym and hearing the thud of my feet, you know, slamming against the treadmill. So I kind of started getting upset, and I said, you know, Joy, the kids lost my earbuds. She's like, well, did you leave them in your car? Did you leave them in your bag? So we looked in all the normal places. No, no, no. And I'm like, oh, these kids, they lose all my stuff. Every single little thing, they lose it. They play with it. It's gone. So I was getting angry. As I was driving to the gym, I was getting kind of more angry, thinking about why is it that they have to lose everything, the kids? Okay, so I'm kind of, as I'm talking about it, I realize how kind of ridiculous it is, but this is me in the moment several days ago. So I'm kind of getting angry and riled up, and, you know, why we had all these kids, and, you know, just like I've talked about elsewhere, the George Bailey syndrome. So you'll remember when George Bailey loses the money and he comes home and the kids are on the piano and Zuzu's sick and his wife's trying to make dinner, and he just kind of gets all grumpy and upset and says stuff like, why we got to have all these kids, and et cetera. So I'm kind of getting into that mode. As I'm driving, I'm thinking to myself, this is not good. I'm just building up stress in my body, in my mind, before I work out. And kind of the whole point of working out is not to have that. So it's a counterintuitive situation. So then I start to think, you know, I think they sell earbuds at the gym. So I go in there, I check in. I said, y'all sell earbuds? I said, oh, yeah, we got a big selection. They had, you know, 20 different kinds. I went over and looked at them. I got some... Well, here they are with me. They're yellow, bright yellow and black. I've never owned these kind before. And they are called, I think they're called Skull Candy. Anyway, they sounded pretty good. They're not as good as the ones that are lost, but they're good enough. And bottom worked out. Everything was great. As I was working out, I started thinking about this. And I said, you know, what is the price of my anger? What is the price tag? What's the threshold? And so I made myself a little promise. Every time I get angry, I'm going to do an if-then proposition. And if I can fix the problem by just spending $20, I'm going to do it and not get angry. So I've placed a price tag on my anger. These are like, and by the way, this is not like deep-seated anger, like, you know, someone deeply injured me or, you know, severe trauma. This is just everyday irritations. If there's a way to overcome the irritation with $20, I'm going to do it. That's my new deal. Because for me to get really upset and worked up and thinking about the kids and getting negative about all that, it's better just to drive to a Target or drive to the gym. Oh, and by the way, I think the headphones were only like $16, okay? Put the money down, get the new headphones, move on, and just do it. And be happy again and move on and not fret and get upset about it. So that's the new model. That's my tip of the week, by the way. Instead of doing tip of the week at the end, this is the tip of the week this week. Just set a price tag on irritations. Here's another example way from the past. No one ever does this anymore, but remember like Blockbuster Video where you'd go and rent videos? Now that there's like Netflix and Amazon Prime, no one does this anymore. I guess there's people who do it, but I haven't done it in, I don't know, 10 years. You go to the store to rent a video, and of course, they make money by you turning it in late. So there's these times where you're like, oh, you know, you're all stressed out. I got to turn in this video. I got to turn back in this DVD. Oh my goodness. You know, it's 9:28 p.m. and you just remembered and it's one day late and you get upset. Why didn't you remind me? And you go and drive at night and you're all... The better thing to do is just take the late fee for a few dollars and turn it in the next morning. So what I'm trying to say here is there are irritations in life. Sometimes it's best just to ante up, pay for it, and move on. Right? Just move on. If you have the luxury to just say, you know what, instead of getting upset and having a bad workout and not listening to the podcast I wanted to hear while I did my long run today, I'm just going to drop $16, be happy again, not be upset at the kids, not fret, have a good workout, come home refreshed, eat dinner with the family, and life goes on. Now, a little over a week ago, actually I think it was 2 weeks ago, I was playing golf with my uncle, who's about a scratch golfer. He's really good, and I'm horrible. I cannot break 100. That's how bad I am. All right, but I love golf. I love going out there in the beauty. So we were playing golf, and around the sixth hole, he started asking me questions about work and all these other complicated things. And instead of looking at the birds and the clouds and the grass and all that, I started thinking about things I need to do when I get back to the office. oh, I need to call that person. Oh, I think that person's still waiting for that. Oh, I need to write that. Oh, I don't know if I have a podcast mapped out for next week, etc. And I was getting more and more stressed out. And then I started hitting the ball. Again, I'm not that great, but hitting it even worse. You know, like off the hill, you know, in the tee box, you know, like barely making contact with the golf ball. Really upset. And by about hole 8, I realized why I was just suddenly playing so much worse. It was because I was getting anxious and even a little bit angry about some of the things I was going to have to do when I got back to the office. So I told my uncle, look, we can't talk about this stuff anymore. Right now, we're just going to talk about golf and good things, and we're going to be at peace, and then we can talk about that stuff later or whatever. Again, a very small thing, but I myself am a very kind of psychosomatic person. If I think of something bad or scary, I can feel it in my guts. Just ask my wife. You know, if I get really stressed out, I can become sick. Happens, you know? Likewise, if I work out and make my body feel good, my mind feels good. It's kind of this circle. And I think all of us, to a greater or lesser extent, experience this. So what I learned from the golf experience is the golf itself was an indicator. It was an instrument of my mental behavior. So as I became anxious and angry about certain things, again, this isn't like angry, like, oh, I'm so mad about that and cussing and yelling, nothing like that. But this sort of irritation, and by the way, it's not our Latin word of the week, but irritation comes from ira, Latin word for anger. These irritations, these little anger points, were starting to downward spiral and grow. They're becoming more. It's like when the gremlins, remember the gremlins? Is it when they got wet or when they ate, they multiplied? I can't remember. I think it's when they got wet. Anyway, if you remember the gremlins, you know what I'm talking about. These little anger points grow and multiply and become more and more and more, and they crowd out this sense of peace and tranquility that we should have as Christians. You know, as Christians, we should have joy and peace. That should be the predominant trait of the Christian. If we don't have that, we need to start to ask ourselves these questions that we're asking today. Why is it? So I put my finger on it because the golf game itself was showing me that as I thought more and more of these thoughts, my peace and my physical ability to do something withered away. So the golf revealed a mental state. So then I began to realize that in order to play golf better, and in fact, in order to live life better, to be better in the office, to be better with my wife, to be better with my children, requires a disciplined thought life. And this is where I want to kind of hunker down in this podcast. You must discipline your thought life. It can be a form of entertainment to enter into self-pity. Certain people actually enjoy thinking about and talking about how unhappy they are. There is something soothing about this, but it's just like drugs. You get a quick hit, you know, like you do cocaine, you get a quick high, and then you crash and you're worse than you were before. That is how dwelling on negative thoughts and anger points works in the human soul. This is why James said in our reading of the week that the anger of man does not produce or does not achieve the righteousness of God. James just recognized that, and he wanted the early Christians to know that. So we have to discipline our thinking. So there's a number of ways you can do that. One is our tip of the week. Realize that a lot of your anger points are completely incidental. For example, someone cut you off on the highway. That is not a big deal. It can easily be fixed by slowing down a little bit and getting away from that person. Losing your earbuds, just slap down $16 and get a new pair. Don't get all upset and let yourself think 30 minutes of negative thoughts about your kids and ruin your day and ruin your workout. Just fix the problem right there. Sometimes maybe you're angry because you haven't eaten yet, your blood sugar's low, just pull the car over and get a hot dog for $2 and fix the situation, right? A lot of these things are very easy to fix. Now, some of them are not so easy. A divorce, child abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, these deep scars that many of us have experienced in life. What do we do with these? You can't just go and pay $16 and get a new childhood. It doesn't work that way. So there's these deep pain points that blossom, that kind of come up like thorns, and they choke out our happiness and our peace. So what do we do about these? Well, it's my personal belief, you may disagree with me, it's my personal belief that these deep points of sorrow, anger, and negative energy, for lack of a better word, they can only be healed the only way through Jesus Christ. He is the great healer, the great physician, the great counselor. Without him, these really deep wounds cannot be solved. Certain people turn to meditation techniques, like in Buddhism, just clearing the mind. That actually does help. It helps people to become a little bit more relaxed. I just purchased the other day a brain monitor. It's supposed to come today or tomorrow to monitor my alpha, beta, theta, and delta waves, as I talked about in episode 49 on prayer and brain activity. If you haven't listened to that podcast, go check it out, episode 49 at taylormarshall.com. Click on weekly podcast. So I am going to be doing some experiments on myself, and I'll report back on that in the podcast. So there are techniques. Most people turn to mind-altering substances to ease the pain. It's like a giant gaping wound in your leg and you take morphine. So people will turn usually to alcohol or different kinds of drugs and narcotics. Again, this actually does work. It actually makes you feel good for a moment, but then the drug wears off and the pain comes back. The pain comes back even worse, and you're destroying your dopamine receptors and the chemical levels of your brain, so that even if you get off drugs, you still have a lot of healing that needs to happen to your physical brain. So there's really no options out there to heal these deep wounds. You can do sort of a mindfulness meditation or yoga, those kind of things. It's not going to do it. In fact, it might open you up to even darker forces, demonic forces. Or you can move to drugs and alcohol to numb yourself from the pain. But if you want to have transformation, a new life, Jesus Christ is the only way to go. And there are people out there who have experienced deep and abiding change, transformation, and joy because of God's healing power. And I think all of us need that. Everyone listening to this show needs the healing power of Christ. So I would encourage you, as I said at the beginning of this segment, go into a dark place, close your eyes, set the timer for 15 or 20 minutes, breathe in, breathe out, relax yourself, put on some soft music if that helps, and picture yourself in front of Christ at Calvary, crucified, looking at you with loving eyes, and take these wounds and begin to shove them and push them up into his side. See yourself in him. See the wounds carried by him on the cross. That's the only way to find peace, healing, and tranquility. All right. Well, we'll move on now towards our Latin word of the week. Usually we'd go on to our tip of the week, but we already talked about that. That is, hey, just figure out the price tag of your anger for incidental things, irritations, and just promise yourself, if this happens, then I will do this. I will just take care of it. I am not going to dwell in a negative outlook. I'm going to fix it right away. Okay, but before we get down to our Latin word of the week, I just want to announce I got back yesterday the edited version of Augustine in 50 Pages. I will be making that available for free to you. So stay tuned, hopefully in the next week or so. So look for it over at taylormarshall.com. If you're already an email subscriber, there are over 16,000 email subscribers at taylormarshall.com. You will get the book as soon as it comes out. I'll just email it to you in the form of a PDF, and you'll have it right there. If you're not an email subscriber, go over to taylormarshall.com, upper right corner. Just sign in there, leave your email address, and I will send you that book as well. Also, just a reminder, we are going to the Holy Land. It's going to be an amazing pilgrimage that I'm leading on February 1st through February 11th. We are going to visit all the holy places. We're going to have Mass at the Holy Sepulchre, where Christ rose from the dead. We're going to go where Christ was crucified. You'll be able to go there and stand where Christ was crucified and do exactly what we just talked about. Take all of your sins, all of your pain, all of your anger, and give it to Christ right there in the physical location where he died. We'll be renewing our baptismal vows at the Jordan River. We'll be renewing our marriage vows at Cana, where the wedding of Cana was. So look for that. Also, we'll be making more spaces available at the new St. Thomas Institute. We've closed enrollment since I think it was June or July. We are going to open up more spaces in October. So if you're interested in earning a certificate in theology, we're going to be introducing two new certificates that will be available to members. If you're interested in earning a certificate of theology with me online in a quick and easy way, go to newstthomas.com. That's the New St. Thomas Institute at newstthomas.com. Okay, Latin word of the week. Tranquillitas. Tranquillitas, where we get the English word tranquility. And it comes from two words. The first word is trans, which means over. And then the quilitas actually comes from quies. Quies in Latin. It's a root that means rest. So tranquility means over rest. And trans can also mean exceedingly. So it's almost like exceedingly restful. That's what tranquility is. You're exceedingly restful. You're at peace. Picture yourself in a big lazy boy with the feet kicked up, surrounded by millions of angels, with a dim light coming from all of them, sitting there with a smile on your face, perfectly at ease. You are exceedingly at rest. This is tranquility. This is what Christ came to give us when he said, "Peace be with you," and when he said, "I came to give you abundant life." He didn't come to give you a life of scarcity. He came to give you an abundant life, and abundant in every single category of your life, that your life might be full. Filled with grace and tranquility. So there it is, tranquilitas. Well, hey, I want to thank everyone who's a subscriber to this podcast. You can go over to iTunes and search Taylor Marshall Show in iTunes. Hit the subscribe button for free. You'll get this podcast every Wednesday. Also, while you're there, I'd really appreciate it if you would rate this podcast. I want to thank all 200 plus of you who have left 5-star reviews. If you would do me this favor, I would really appreciate it if you would take the time. It takes about 40 seconds. Go over to iTunes, type in Taylor Marshall Show. This show will pop up. Go in there and leave a review. You can leave a 1-star review all the way to a 5-star review. And please say something that's helpful to other people, like why you like this podcast. This helps this podcast become more greatly featured within iTunes, so more people, more Christians, more Catholics can find this show and find peace and tranquility. Well, hey, thank you so much for listening this week. I hope that was helpful. I hope you get a strategy about your own anger and a strategy to reclaim peace and tranquility in your life. Till next time, remember that our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth, so go out there and be salty. pumped up music.